Hi, I'm Josh.
And I'm Lindsay.
And this is the Hideaway Podcast, episode 25.
Then Sank. So a few things happened last week. One, my birthday.
Woohoo!
Yeah!
We went to Senza Gluten, which is an all-gluten-free Italian restaurant.
Yeah, and there were two other people celebrating their birthdays, which seems like if you have a gluten allergy, you go to Senza Gluten for your birthday, because you can have anything on the menu, including a chocolate molten lava cake.
Yeah, and it tastes amazing.
It does really taste good.
You can't taste the lack of the gluten.
You can't.
And then we went to Wassail afterwards, in the Lower East Side.
We had hot toddies, which were really good.
Yeah, I mean, I picked it because it's supposed to be like a cool cider bar, and cider is gluten-free, but I didn't particularly like the cider.
No, the cider was pretty bad. I was like, okay, this is... And we each had flutes of three different ciders from, like, America. Yeah. And then,
so we tried six in total.
Yeah, I didn't like them. So hot toddy it was, which was very good.
Well, many birthday wishes to you, Lindsay.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
What else did we do last week?
We opened a show.
We opened our very first show, Slumber.
Yeah, hence why there wasn't a podcast this week, last weekend, and why we sound kind of tired. But yeah, it opened and it got really good reviews.
Yeah, we did it. Should we read a little bit of the reviews? Some of the best quotes.
Well, so I think like today we want to kind of talk about criticism.
Yeah, let's talk about criticism.
And like having someone critique your art and how weird that is.
Never happened to us before.
No, it's never happened. I mean, I've always worked on other people's shows. And, you know, criticism, even if it's good, is like, easier to take when it's not your own work. Because you're like, oh, great job. You got a great review. And then you kind of move on. Or, oh, that was too bad. You didn't get the greatest review. And you move on. But when it's your own, you, like, dissect every little bit. And
by you, she means literally Lindsay dissects.
Yeah, me, I dissect everything.
Well, should we start with the good ones or the one bad
one?
Well,
let's start. Okay, so we got mostly all good and then one terrible review.
Yeah, we got like seven positive and one negative.
Which, you know, for the first show ever, those odds are pretty amazing.
Yeah, but at least the one negative one was pretty funny.
But the one negative one was like, it wasn't like he didn't enjoy parts of it, but he liked some parts of it. It was like he hated it.
So first of all, I guess we'll read you the quote from a negative one. I got to pull up the theater mania.
It was self. It's really hilarious.
If I catch interview podcasters posting this theater mania review anywhere, you'll be banned from listening to the podcast.
Although it's witty.
It's very witty. I mean, he didn't like it, but he certainly has a funny sense of humor.
Well, let me just set up the day's show.
Okay.
So it was Sunday matinee.
Oh, yeah, you should just talk about how critics come in general.
Okay. So, for a typical show in New York, that's more of a theater show, you have a preview period. And previews are still paying audiences, but it's just called previews because the show is not technically set. And it's when the press comes. The press comes to preview performances, and then they all review the show, and they release their reviews once the show has officially opened. So, we had our official opening Sunday, this past Sunday night. So the press came to shows on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday matinee. The Friday and Saturday shows were great.
Our Saturday show was amazing.
Our Saturday show was incredible. Sunday matinee, however, was rough. It was a very rainy, cold New York day. And the
we had some issues with the subways. There were issues with the front of house.
Yeah, it was their first ever matinee show at House of Yes. So we, you know, had to really work on communication. And now we know what we're doing.
Because they have an amazing brunch at House of Yes, which none of us really thought beforehand would conflict with people walking into the theater. But when you have when your lobby is turned into a restaurant, it does make some things a little bit more challenging.
And so people had to enter through the emergency exit, which is fine, but it made the theater very cold and the, you know, bright light would seep in. So to set up the day, it
cold,
wasn't a nice day.
Rainy, end of a long week, first matinee.
Yeah.
And that's when Theater Mania came.
And that was when Theater Mania came.
But I mean, he starts off his review by saying, "This scrappy young circus takes up residence at the House of Yes."
Which you're like, okay, cool.
I was like, all right, I'll take scrappy. I'm definitely young. We're young, sure. And his first line, which is all I'm going to really read, is, If you look into the bathroom mirror at Bushwick's House of Yes and say P.T. Barnum three times, will an entertaining circus magically appear? And his conclusion is no.
Nope. It's so funny.
It's so funny, but it's also just like, he so strongly dislikes it that I had a lot of fun reading it. Like, at least we gave him, at least he felt strongly.
He felt very strongly. And like, the worst is when people ignore you. When people either love you or hate you, you're getting attention and you're getting opinions, which is cool. But if people were like, meh, it's fine. That's like the worst to me.
The meh?
Because you're like, ugh, I want to at least do something that people either love or hate.
He described our writing as like trying to BS your way through an answer in English class after failing to do the reading the night before.
Which is also hilarious. And he was, you know, what I also think is really funny is when he, in some point he's like, you know, there's just like no plot. Huh. Or there, it's a very loose plot. It's like, well, you try to come up with a plot when there's literally no talking. There are no lines. It's circus and dance. At least there's a plot to be had.
Well, I think a mistake we learned was that people who come in who are theater critics are anticipating seeing theater. People who come in who are dance critics are anticipating seeing dance. And people who are art critics are coming in anticipating to see art. Yes. And for the most part, the dance and art critics have loved it. And the theater critics, all except for Theater Mania, seem to like it too. I just want to read a few fun positive pull quotes.
For those. I have a good fun one.
Okay.
So the Brooklyn Reader came, and his headline is "Wake up and then go see Slumber at the House of Yes." So you're like, awesome. And then one of his quotes is, "The creators, Josh and I and Keone Murray, the creators have rendered a thoroughly enjoyable evening that is a kind of 21st century cabaret featuring its very own devilish MC." The fact that he compared us to cabaret, the Candor and Ebb musical, which is one of my favorites of all time.
I was put on stage to dance with
Alan Cumming.
Alan Cumming during cabaret last year.
It really made my life.
Time Out had a good time too. Time Out described it as contemporary, sexy, and a little bit dangerous, both elegant and alluringly raw, never mind the bloodstains. I think so. At one point, we have a character cough up blood, and it must have landed on his notepad, because most people won't get too much blood on them from watching the show, but it seems like the Time Out critic did.
Yeah.
I really like the Review Hub review as well, which, another pull quote, "A talented cast, a compelling story, phenomenal physical performances, and rollicking energy are a winning combination." This guy seems to think that we had a compelling story.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the thing is I think it's a pretty fun story. It's not, you know, A Delicate Balance by
Edward Albee.
Is that Edward? Yeah, it's Edward Albee. Like, you know, it's just not supposed to be serious. It's not taking itself seriously. No. And it's just supposed to be fun.
If this is your first time listening and you haven't had a chance to enjoy our podcast in the past, the show we're producing, Slumber, is about six best friends who are all girls. And one night they decide to go out to the nightclub, and one of them, who doesn't like the best of her friends, decides to murder all of them. And the show sort of follows us as we see these circus acts and dance acts happening over the course of the night, and our anti-hero, psycho killer, Mabel, you know, knock off all of her best friends one by one in some pretty fun stage blood over the top kind of ways.
Yeah.
And that's the story. That's the whole extent of the story.
Yeah. What other positive reviews did we get?
Diana Reviews It All liked it. Mm. Diana Reviews It All, who wrote, "For a 90-minute show, Slumber goes like a quick dream. It's like a breath of fresh air to the theater scene and dance world. Such a well-choreographed and select cast deserves to be seen. Moreover, this show is unlike anything in New York City, and I mean that in the best of ways. It is a great reminder of entertainment relics that can be found through New York and not simply around Times Square." Amen, Diandra.
Thank you. But, you know, it's funny how we literally got so many positive reviews, and then it's hard to just not only focus on that one guy.
Well, it's called negativity bias, where regardless of whether or not you get negative or positive things, you get 100 negative things. Your brain, through, you know, your personal biochemistry and the way humans are programmed, you know, fight and flight, going all the way back, early evolution, is to be more sensitive to the negative things and to treat those with more weight, even though
Don't really have much more weight.
They don't have any more weight than anything else has.
Critiquing art is really weird. I mean, it's so subjective, you know?
Well, the Theater Mania guy in his bio on his Theater Mania website says his favorite thing he's ever written was a parody of his college professors making fun of them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this dude likes to make fun of other people.
But also, it's kind of like, what gives someone the credentials to be critiquing art? Like, at what point do you become well-versed enough in your craft to be a critic of it publicly?
You know who seemed like a legit artist or writer was the Brooklyn Reader writer.
Yeah, he compared us to Cirque du Soleil in its early days, which was also incredible. But he wrote with a breadth of knowledge that, like, the Theater Mania guy didn't. I hope I meet him one day and I'm going to be like, hi.
I want to thank him for that review. Like, that's funny. It was really funny. Like, I don't agree with him and that's totally okay. And I'm glad he saw the show. I'm sorry he saw that matinee performance, but you know, at least he was witty in his, in his writing.
But I even when I try to like talk about how I felt about a show, I'm always like, well, what makes me able to talk about this intelligently? You know, it's not like I see every single thing on Broadway or off Broadway. I don't see every single thing in New York or in Brooklyn. You know, it's like, how do you compare? And then you're only comparing it to things in New York.
But I think, it's also important to know, and I didn't really think about this beforehand, how much it's also subjective to the critic's experience of that show and that day. And,
yeah, you know, like how they're feeling that day.
How they're feeling that day. You know, like, for all I know, the Theater Mania guy, like, woke up and, you know, missed his morning coffee and the subway was really slow and he didn't bring his umbrella and got rained on and all these other things happened. And then the show wasn't very good, you know, the day he saw it.
It's like annoyed.
So, you know, it's a lot. It's more than just the show, you know, because you and I see the show every single night. We have a very personal relationship to it.
Yeah.
And the critics only have the day they come and the thing that happens right before to set it up for them.
Yeah.
I did think, though, that there were a few interesting takeaways from the reviews, which were going to be changing in the show these coming weeks. One of which was, everybody wants more blood.
Yeah, everyone's like, more blood, more blood.
So we're amping up the blood this week.
More blood.
So if you like stage blood, you want to see our stage get really bloody, it will be even bloodier this week than it was last week. One of the other interesting notes I thought was that the Theater Mania guy complained we didn't have a very interesting intermission, which to me never occurred to me to have an interesting intermission in a way. Like, I agree, like, an intermission where you just get, you know, drinks and snacks and go to the bathroom is typical. But he was like, there was no interaction during the intermission. I was very upset about it. And I was like, oh, I wasn't even really thinking about that. But I think this week we're going to try to add some fun drinking games into the intermission. You know, it takes us time to clean up the blood on stage and to rig for the next act. So we do have to take the full 20-minute intermission. Yep. But we can certainly, you know, introduce some fun drinking interactive, immersive moments.
Yeah, I think so too. And the other hard part was that the show probably could have used another week of rehearsal. You know, it's like if we had done a less story-driven show, maybe could have taken less time because it's just more slotting in things. But to really create this whole world, probably could have used one more week, but that's okay because now we can implement these things
moving forward.
So the show will be ever changing, which is fun and cool. But we only have 4 weeks left.
Yeah, it's running out. 4 weeks left in New York, and then we're taking this puppet on tour.
Yeah, can we announce that? Yeah.
Well, we're not going to say yet. Maybe where we're going to go.
Okay.
But Slumber will not be done after
this. No, Slumber's not over.
Slumber will be headed out of the country. So for some of our international audiences, on the podcast, get excited. We may be headed your way in February. Yeah, maybe let's give a clue.
Okay.
So we're going to a Fringe Festival that happens in February to March. And it's they warm. Say, good day, mate. Yeah. We'll leave it at that. Maybe you guys can yeah. figure out and write us in if you know what we're talking about.
Yeah. It's interesting. This whole thing is interesting.
What else should we talk about?
Well.
Actually, you know what's being reviewed amazingly right now?
Curious.
Cirque du Soleil's
They had 2 years and a buttload of money to perfect that puppy before they got to New York. It should be fucking amazing.
It should be amazing. But I'll be totally honest. When I saw Curious, I sort of left with mixed feelings. Like,
me too.
Some stuff was, I mean, we did see the second performance of it.
Yeah.
The same way Theatermania right, saw the fourth performance of ours.
Yeah.
And I sort of left with mixed feelings, thinking that some of the acts were really outstanding and others left a little bit to be desired. Yeah. But it's getting like raves, yes. just raves. Or at least that's
also,
the way.
Let's also think that Cirque du Soleil hasn't had a tented show here for what, 2 years?
And Big Apple Circus isn't here.
And Big Apple Circus isn't here. So they had a lot playing in their favor.
But regardless of them playing their favor, I'm excited to see it. You
Me
know?
Too.
I want to see what they've changed since 2 years ago in Montreal when we saw it.
Same. Yeah.
They certainly don't have that much stage blood to clean up.
We're going to embrace technology.
Woohoo!
And live stream a few different parts of the show. Not the whole show.
On Facebook, baby.
Yeah. Make it boring. Well, not boring, but no, sorry. Yeah, we're going to live stream on Facebook. That's parts of the show.
Yeah, we're going to do some this week. So your Facebook, if you're a fan of Hideaway, will notify you when we are streaming live. If you're not already a fan and you want to see the live stream, I recommend going to facebook.com/hideawaycircus and liking the page so you get that notification. But we're going to for sure stream the opening scene and maybe a little bit more depending on if we're getting some online views.
Oh, you know, we could talk about the opening scene.
Sure, let's talk about the opening scene.
So originally, the original idea was that basically everyone comes in, all these girls come in from the house. It's this big dream, over-the-top dream, pillow fight.
Yes.
And
do you know what does not look good on stage?
A pillow fight.
A pillow fight.
It looks terrible. And, you know, like, it's a funny thing, like, when you go to rehearsal and something looks good in the rehearsal room, and then you bring it to the theater, and you're like, huh, it's not working.
No.
And you and me and Cody and Mari were all like, it's not working.
After the first dress rehearsal.
No, before the dress rehearsal, it's not really working, but it might be because there isn't an audience.
Yeah.
And then we had a dress rehearsal with an audience, and it was like, oh, wow, it works even less than we thought it did. And so
we redid it.
We redid it.
And now it's going to be the best number in the show. One of the best numbers in the show.
Yeah. That night, Keone and Mari came over, and we had some drinks at like 9 o'clock at night, talked about the number and what we want to achieve. And, you know, I think something that we learned is you have to pick the direction and it has to go very strongly in that direction. And it can't be like this kind of like unknown quantity of a number. Like it wasn't sexy enough. It wasn't over the top enough. It wasn't dark enough. It wasn't scary. So like, it was just like nothing. So once we picked the direction of more dark, then we went that way. And now the number is amazing. And then Thursday, right before the first paid performance, for 2 hours we rehearsed the new opening
new
number, and it's amazing.
So yeah, I think we'll live stream that opening number for you guys. So yeah. Keep an eye out tonight. It is Thursday the 13th.
It is the 13th.
We might do it tomorrow the 14th or Saturday the 15th. So just like us on Facebook and you'll get a notification when we start live streaming it.
Yeah.
Shows are always at 7:30, so it'll be around that time.
Yeah. And I think in the next few weeks on the podcast, we'll probably have some of our performers on.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to have Cuny on, but
we need to spend that time working on the pillow fight.
Yeah. But they'll be back soon.
Forgive us.
Yeah, so sorry. But he will be on. And make sure to like us on Facebook so you can see the live stream.
And follow us on Instagram. We're posting photos of the show every day. Follow us on Twitter. Tweet us. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please like it and rate us on iTunes. It's a great way to give us feedback. Let us know what you want to hear more of.
Yeah.
Oh, and of course, get your slumber tickets.
Get your slumber tickets.
We're only here for 4 more weekends.
Yep.
In Brooklyn. You can visit slumbershow.com for tickets. If you use the offer code BLOOD, BLOOD, at checkout, you'll get 10% off your total order.
And you can buy a sweatshirt. You can go to our website and buy a slumber sweatshirt.
Yeah, if you want some merch.
They're really cool. Everyone keeps asking where we get them.
Yeah, Lindsay painted both the logo and the Hideaway logo. And we scanned those into the computer and put them onto the sweatshirt. So it looks hand-painted.
Have a good rest of your week. It's already Thursday. Have a good weekend.
Woo! It's the weekend. About to have me some fun.
Maybe I'm about to have me some fun.
Yeah.
Bounce, 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 bounce. Yeah.